So this week was my younger brother's birthday, and that always brings certain stories, like birthdays do, and one with my brother is a story of the day he was born about me. So I was five. I was very excited to have a little brother. I had a little sister, but little brothers, there's something about being 5 years old and having a little brother. So Dad came home from the hospital. Mom had had my brother late in the night, and so came home to tell us about our new baby brother. And I said, "What's his name?" Dad said, "It's Cameron." I said, "What's his middle name?" He said, "Joseph." "What's his last name?" And at this point, I think my dad was a little worried about me, but he goes, "It's Jungi." I go, "No, that's my last name. What's his last name?" So this gets told multiple times a year, but always on my brother's birthday. We belong to a family, right? Our last name sort of guarantees that. And as an older sibling, I came to learn eventually, once my siblings stopped being so annoying, that I had the responsibility to help them grow in belonging to our family. You're the oldest. You know the traditions. You know the buttons to push and not to push. You know just how to break bad news or a mistake to mom and dad. You're the one who helps them come to belong. In our readings today, it's all about the question of belonging to God's family. And in the gospel, we're familiar with the prodigal son and with the resentful son. But there's a third son in this gospel, and it's Jesus. Jesus is the third son. A professor in seminary who never passed up the opportunity with this gospel to say, "Hey, the morning after the party, both of the sons had to wake up and figure out what it meant now to live in their father's house again." I think that touches on a very real experience for all of us as well. When we have repented, we have to figure out what it means to belong to God's family. Maybe we are paralyzed with accusations and shame. Maybe we're going, "Well, gosh, did I convert out of some sort of misguided fervor? I mean, it's a long time to give up X, Y, or Z. What does it mean to live as a member of this household?" And God in His goodness, the Father, doesn't make us figure that out all on our own. He sends His only begotten Son to be our brother. Now, immediately to disarm some resistance that may have emerged when I said that, there's definitely been some time in the last few decades where when we talk about Jesus as brother, we're sort of robbing Him of His divine authority. "Well, Jesus is my brother. He's my buddy. He's going to wink and nudge at, you know, whatever it is that I do, and there's no consequences." All we have to do is read Paul's letter to Timothy to see that that's quite the opposite of how we relate to Christ as our brother. But the truth of the matter is, in baptism, we are adopted as sons and daughters of the Father, which means Jesus is, in fact, our brother. And rather than it bringing Jesus down, it raises us up. He is the one who teaches us how to belong to the divine household. He is the one who makes it possible, in fact, for us to belong to the divine household. And again, we see this so clearly with Paul's letter to Timothy. Paul was the resentful son. The Pharisee of Pharisees, as he calls himself somewhere else. But that led him to blasphemy, to saying, "Jesus is not the Lord. This is somebody I must work against." And he persecuted the Christians, not listening, not allowing that gospel to be proclaimed until the Lord put him in a position to be humbled. And he understands then that he was mercifully treated, but it wasn't just a one-time mercy, right? We know right away after Paul is brought into the faith, after he's baptized, he goes away for several years to learn to be guided in the faith through his closeness with his brother, Jesus. And this is why he's able to say to Timothy, the grace of our Lord has been abundant along with faith, so trustworthiness, and love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul is describing how he has experienced this older brother of his, not as one who resents him for receiving the Father's love, but instead as one who is eager to have him share in the household. And Paul speaks words of encouragement to us. If Christ Jesus was a faithful brother to him who was the greatest of sinners, we also can expect that great brotherly love and fraternity from Jesus in learning to live as members of the Father's household. And indeed, if we had any doubt, Paul ends, right, to the King of ages, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. This nearness with Jesus as brother has not brought Jesus down, but has lifted Paul up. And we can hope for the same. And we see the same with Moses. This is not a good day to be an Aaron in the first reading, right? He has allowed the Israelites to give in to their anxiety and fear. We're following this invisible God. How do we even know that he is powerful or trustworthy? And so Aaron feeds their fear. He says, okay, yeah, you're right. Let's have a God that we can see. So he shapes this molten calf and he says, there is your God. There is the one who has been leading you. Let's give honor and worship to him. He brings God down, makes him look like an oxen. In fact, like lots of other fertility gods in the ancient world. And God gives Moses a very interesting option. Let my wrath have its way with these people. Let me wipe them out. I see that they're stubborn. Let me make it easier on you. I will raise up a great nation for you in their place. And suddenly we see the test is not about Israel being faithful or not. The test is whether or not Moses will be faithful. Has Moses learned God's heart in his closeness with him? And Moses gets it right. Lord, remember the mercy that you have shown. And again, when we hear remember in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, it's not memory like, hey, don't forget, but instead it's a making present. Moses is saying, no, Lord, this is who you are. You are merciful. You've dealt mercifully with Abraham, with Isaac, with Israel. You have already dealt mercifully with them. Deal mercifully also with these people. He links his fate to theirs. He is the older brother who will take on the task of trying to teach the stiff-necked Israelites how to belong to the household of the God that he has come to know so intimately. So we see lots of places, brothers and sisters, for us to engage with this truth. First and foremost, do we think of Jesus as our brother? Or does Jesus remain remote, so remote, in fact, that we might be tempted to pull him down, much like the Israelites did, to make a false Jesus, because he's easier to understand? Or do we allow that call that St. Paul experienced to ennoble us, to say, I don't know what I did to be worthy of this. In fact, I've got a list of reasons I'm not, but that's my brother. He's going to teach me how to live in this house. And so we take up that call and courageously go forward. Maybe it means letting that list of reasons we think we're unworthy be set aside, called to mind only to stir up gratitude to God who has loved us so much that he gave us his son, not just to suffer and to die for us, but to remain our brother and bring us into the household of God. Perhaps we've been learning from our friendship, our brotherhood with Jesus for a while. So have we learned well enough to take him into the world, to invite others who might be blasphemers, persecutors, arrogant, the worst of all sinners. And instead of calling down God's wrath on them, to do as Moses did, as our brother Jesus does, to teach them how to belong to the household of such a merciful Father. We meet that older brother here in the Eucharist, the firstborn from the dead. So if it is our awe of him that needs to be restored, then allow the truth of the all-powerful, incorruptible King of the ages, invisible only God, to make himself visible in the form of bread. Allow that to stir us to awe. But if it stirs us to fear, to shame, if all we can remember is the list of the things that we were or have been, then allow the closeness of God, Jesus, our brother, to say, no, let me show you how to live in the house. Let's start again. And if we've been stable in our fidelity, our relationship with him, then let's allow him to feed us and to shape our hearts that we may in fact be images of him. Good older siblings who are able to bring others to live in this household too. As we continue with our Mass, we realize set before us is the way of the prodigal son, the way of the resentful son, and at different times in our lives we may choose one or both of those paths, but always the way of the third son, the true son. Jesus himself is open to us. And so may we receive the name, the life, the love of that third son, our brother, Jesus.